Chandler Robbins has spent a lot of time studying how birds kill themselves. He says he would go out on windy nights to the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C. He'd stand at the bottom of the 555-foot-tall obelisk and watch the birds at the top.
And just as they get to the tower, they just go around the edge of it, and bang, the turbulence from the wind going around the tower sweeps those birds against the tower, and they're killed.
Speaking at a conference, Robbins tells the crowd he once watched more than 500 birds slam into the monument in one night. And that monument is standing still. Now imagine wind turbines, some of them about as tall as the Washington Monument, but with spinning blades that reach nearly a football field in diameter. Alex Hoare is with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He says a single turbine can now change air currents for 3 acres around the turbine itself.
So if you put up 100 turbines, the blades are sweeping 300 acres. So that's a large space. And what we don't know is when are birds and bats at risk?
We don't know because no one has really studied it. Both Alex Hoare and Chandler Robbins say scientists know a lot about where birds take off and where they land. They know about migration patterns. But they don't know about what birds do or where they go while they're in the air. So with more wind farms being built across the country, it's not clear what effect they might have on bird populations. But some suspect it won't be good. Peter Keiling works with an environmental consulting company. He recently did an environmental impact study for a new 4,700-acre commercial wind farm in Michigan. He says scientists can learn a lot from the wind farms that have already been built. He says the ones that have done the most damage to wildlife have a few things in common.
The turbine was in a narrow valley or a mountain pass or on the edge of a large water body with steep wooded cover that was used by migrating songbirds. There's almost always a topographical association.
Weather also plays a role. Peter Keiling and others say that birds tend to avoid cloud banks by flying under them. That could put them in the path of turbine blades. So one way to limit damage would be to shut the turbines down on cloudy days. Chandler Robbins says better technology could also limit damage. He says turbine blades could be equipped with sensors.
If a bird or a bat collided with that blade, it would set up enough vibration so that the blade could be feathered temporarily to avoid other birds striking until the immediate problem is over.
Feathering essentially means that you twist the angle of the blade so that the wind passes over it rather than pushing the blade into a spin. That way, birds aren't sucked into it. It's basically the turbine's braking system. Some say you don't even need a sensor on the turbine. They say engineers could monitor radar and thermal imaging. That would tell them if any migrating birds are in the area. And if they are, feather the blades. Of course, the absolute safest solution in the short term might just be to stop building wind farms. But you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone who thinks that's a good idea. Most seem to realize that any way of making electricity will have some impact on the environment. The question is what can be done with each of them to minimize the risk. With wind energy, that work is just getting started. For the GLRC, I'm Dustin Dwyer.